Just a note, the first minute or so, we had a little sound quality issue this week. But hang in there, it gets better. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Sweet Tea and Tacos. I'm Dave.
And I'm Jim.
And we're coming to you from our kitchen again. We've got a Scotty over there, the dishwasher going. It seems like we never stop washing dishes. But today we wanted to kind of talk about, it's kind of related to our food histories, and that's somewhat what the name Sweet Tea and Tacos came from, was right. Our backgrounds. And we talk a lot about how our food backgrounds and the different backgrounds kind of make our cooking interesting. So what is it like when you add in maybe living in another country, and how does that? So we brought on our friends Jeff and Melanie. Welcome.
Yes, welcome. Hey.
Thank you. Happy Thanks to be here.
So kind of tell us a little bit before we delve into what it was like. You all lived in France for several years. Yes. Before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about your food histories.
Yeah, well, and I don't know. I was just kind of curious more than anything. We've known y'all for a while, but maybe we don't know kind of that side. Were y'all foodies before you moved to France? Did you grow up cooking? Did you have a lot of good kind of culinary background within your families? You know, what were you like as Americans before you went?
Wow, that is a great question.
Okay.
Because the term foodie, I don't think really became a thing when we were younger.
Yeah.
We didn't know that's what we
right,
were.
Right.
But I can honestly tell you, I've been a and my grandmother on her side, wonderful, wonderful cook. I remember growing up eating fried chicken and biscuits
mm-hmm.
and loving it. I mean, yeah. That's just what I thought. That's just what you eat.
Sure.
Growing up in our culture in the South, it's just a way of loving somebody. Heritage. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad's grandmother was not a great cook, but she had a lot of love, and we had a huge family, so she was always wanting everybody to come, and of course we always brought a dish, and it was wonderful to get together Christmas and Thanksgiving, Easter, and just whenever we could. But so grew up with wonderful role models.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you though, I do not enjoy cooking.
Really?
Or I know. I like to eat it.
I
do. And I want Jeff to share about, you know, his background too, because I'm blessed to have a wonderful mother-in-law who cooked like Betty Crocker. I mean, she was just wonderful. Literally, she won the Betty Crocker Award. So she
really?
Was
wow.
a home ec
awesome.
Star. I was a little intimidated by that. But I learned so much from her. But I wasn't a great cook. I was a better cleaner, mm-hmm. which is how Mama sold me to Jeff. My sister was the cook, but boy, she sure can clean. I'll never forget that. The first time you came to eat at our house. So I cooked out of necessity,
mm-hmm.
you know, and when we first married and had children and Jeff was busy pastoring and so much going on, I cooked basic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I make a mean meatloaf and pinto beans and cornbread and potatoes. I mean, that's my favorite mm-hmm. way to cook. I wasn't really well-versed in real high culinary arts, so that wasn't really my thing. So I'm just a good old, you know, hometown take it out of the garden, put it in a pot and eat it, kind of cook. But Jeff, tell them about your background.
Yeah, we'd definitely be the sweet tea side, right? The sweet tea tacos. I've had a few good tacos too.
Yeah.
He's got that Texas background too.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I definitely, I mean, both grandmothers, amazing cooks and just, you know, just solid food. I mean, nothing fancy at all.
Sure. That's some of the best food.
It is.
I mean, I could sit here, I could walk through meal after meal after meal, and I mean, I'm an eater. There is no question about that. And,
so yes, we're foodies.
Yes, foodies before foodies was cool. But, but West Texas country foodies, and so yeah, I mean, you know, pies and you know, my dad talks about my grandma making biscuits and bread and a pie or a cake every single day.
Mm-hmm.
They were farmers, and my mom's mom was actually was the cafeteria cook at schools in these little small towns in Texas. And
cool.
And then when I was a little kid, they ran a Stuckey's. You remember the Stuckey's stores? And
I
remember, so grandmama made the Papaw pump the gas and check the oil. And grandmama made the sandwiches and ran the little diner part. I remember egg salad sandwiches. That's I just remember that like yesterday. And so, and then mom was a home ec major. And so she had all the modern technology like Bisquick and you know, those kind of things. And but a wonderful cook. She tried unique things every once in a while. I remember one time she brought lamb home and nobody would eat it, so that was a one time. So it's, you know, they're just basic cooks but wonderful cooks. And my aunts, I mean, everybody just, you know, really great cooks. So I've been eating a long time. But I do remember, it's funny you ask about cooking. When I was, I don't know how old I was, probably 7 or 8, my mom got a little kind of a kid's cookbook about Chinese food, because we love to go eat Chinese food in Memphis, Tennessee. So you know how that is. But and you know, she would, I made fried rice and drop soup, and that's really probably the first time I remember. I would help her make gravy sometimes. You know, stuff like that, but that's really where it started.
She encouraged you.
She
encouraged you to cook.
And then camping, I was in Scouts. Camping, you know, all that. So, so yeah, I've always enjoyed cooking, but really it was.
When did we make the transition, Jeff, where instead of me cooking primarily, was it in France?
Yeah, definitely when we lived in France. But like I remember when we lived in Auburn, Alabama, we bought a Bon Appetit magazine for the first time. And we made this lasagna that probably cost $1,000.
Because we had no money.
Buying this stuff and had no idea, you know, all these different things. And that, you know, that was probably our first foray into it.
That
and
then, was it. I do remember that.
Not only being a French teacher and I, again, I just love to eat. We would try things here and there, but really until we moved to France, we just kind of ate good old stuff.
So what was that like, being from the South, being with the food heritage you've talked about, and then you go to France? Wow. What was that like from a, I mean.
Oh, wow. That was really, well, the term culture shock is real. I mean, that is a definite thing. We thought we were ready. We thought we were prepared. And I had taught French, so I thought I knew all about French culture. We had actually taken some teenagers. We had taken them from the school where I taught. So we had been to France and experienced a little bit of the food, but it was more touristy. So that wasn't as authentic as what we came to love later. But when we first arrived there, I remember I had jet lag pretty badly. And I was, you know, just, I mean, I'm talking like the day two or two that we got there. And I was like, I just can't, I can't. And this missionary family that welcomed us said, well, you have to feed your family. And so she said, so we're going to the grocery. And I'm like, well, I just can't, I don't even have my head yet. But she wasn't extremely nice about it. But she was right. I did need to take that first step into a French grocery store and get over the fear of it, because I knew it would be different. And she escorted me there. And first thing I noticed, you had to pay for your cart. I mean, you had to put a euro into the slot to get the cart out. And I thought that was unique. I had never seen that before. And I was like, oh, this is going to be good. The first thing is different. But Peggy was real kind. She carried me through the store and told me, you know, this is what you do. You go to the produce and you have to select, and then you have to weigh it. And you have to be sure that you weigh the right thing.
Okay.
And that you get the, remember that? The labels and everything that you had to print out made me so nervous. Because I can't tell you how many times I forgot to do that.
So they wouldn't weigh it for you.
Right. At the grocery store. Right. At this little market. I can't remember which one that was. Frumpy, probably. It was just a basic grocery store, similar to the States, but completely different. You know, if you can just imagine everything looking so familiar, but yet the packaging is all different, and even the variety and the availability of different things. I mean, there were 3 aisles of yogurt.
Wow.
And I remember that. I mean, and cheese. Right. I mean, you just, I was not ready for that. And so, I remember Peggy finally decided, okay, I will help you pick out what you need for your family. Because I had studied French, I had taught French, but I couldn't speak. I could not yet converse and ask questions. And some of the words on the packages were strange, you know.
You know, I think we had we were excited about it and wanted, I mean, we were really excited about trying new things.
We wanted to
and learn. Wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. And what was funny is that the people around, like certainly the people when we left the States and the people who met us there, all kind of assumed we weren't. So, you know, they had spaghetti for us.
Yeah.
They had, you know, they sent us with peanut butter and Bisquick.
Right.
And all these kind of things because they're just like, they won't, you know.
How are you going to live?
So how are you going to survive?
That's right. Yeah. How do you live without peanut butter?
Right.
And you know.
Granted, it was, you couldn't
you never, it very you never love it until you don't have it. That's the truth about peanut butter. But we, I mean, I would say we embraced it pretty quick.
Oh, yes, we did. Because
trying new things and going to the village markets and trying to, you know, cook French things. And
French,
it was fun.
French cooking is always with the season. You know, you purchase what's available, what's fresh, what's good.
Mm-hmm.
And so we learned pretty quickly, Jeff. You remember that cooperative that we ordered from the, I can't.
It was like a CSA basket that we joined. And,
okay.
And once we did that, we
yeah.
fell in love with it. We fell in love with, oh, wow, this is here. This is available. It's the first time we ever tried Jerusalem artichokes and didn't know what they were or how to fix them, but we figured that out.
So I was learning to speak French because I didn't know any when we got there. And so I would go and pick up the basket, and there was always, and it was at a farm, and there was always this older grandma out there, and I would look in the basket and, you know, half of it, I wouldn't have any idea what it was.
Right.
Or how to say it.
I mean, American grocery stores, small town grocery stores.
Right.
And so I would always just ask her, what is that? And what do I do with it? And she would tell me and we would go home and try it.
Mm-hmm.
And that really, you know, I mean, expands your horizons pretty fast.
Yeah.
Very quickly. We learn to ask our neighbors, you know, we learn to find, you know, find ways to incorporate that into our language learning. That was part of the way we got to know people, and when they discovered that we love food, we had lots of volunteers, lots of people who wanted to tell us their favorite dish or what their favorite vegetable of the season, or which strawberries were better than those, or, you know, and we learned quickly that the market, the supermarket, is a good place to go to get what you need, you know, cereal, milk, things like that.
To kind of stock up.
Right, right, to take care of your family, to feed your children. And then we discovered the marché or the market. That's where you go to get the real food. And it's fresh, and you don't buy for a month at a time.
Right.
You buy what you're going to need for the next few days.
Right.
And part of that's because your refrigerator is about my height, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. It's not a very big thing. Mm-hmm. So you can't preserve things for a long, long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we learned very quickly which, what we loved.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Had lots of, good memories.
There were a few things we didn't love.
Yeah. Our children didn't.
Definitely the children didn't.
Jeff made his famous vegetable pancakes for them, and they cried. Because it was really creative way of using your vegetables in your CSA basket.
That's
right. Jeffrey just cried. He didn't want to eat that. But I will say, by the time we left France, they would eat anything.
That's just awesome.
Yeah. You know, I think, I mean, you know, just thinking about it, that's why, I mean, what y'all even do is your podcast gets right to the heart of it, is that, you know, when you're trying to know people and trying to know a place, food is just a great route to that.
Yeah, and so often when we travel, unless you live there or have access to a kitchen, you don't get the experience. Like, you can eat at restaurants, but then cooking it yourself with that stuff is a whole different experience. You know,
for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I went to Spain on a business trip, and I remember it was about 2 days into it, and half the group was like, "I gotta find an American fast food restaurant or something,"
and that just blew his mind.
Are you crazy? It blew my mind.
Oh,
you know, and I mean, and I think there was about four of us that had a group of 30 that ended up just keep. We want to find. We'd go down to the concierge. Tell us where we need to go eat tonight.
Because
we need to
eat, you know. Take advantage of that opportunity. That's
So, coming back to the States, how did that experience then affect you when you moved back?
Yeah, was it kind of culture shock in reverse? And
you know, even some of the things Melanie described, getting used to access to certain things that are really hard here, and things that that there are so, like leeks is a great example of that, is that leeks are everywhere there, and they're not in expensive. So many different things. They're not expensive. You come here and they're expensive, they're hard to find, they're not fresh, and so that's a big part. So just the variety.
Yeah.
And then getting back into kind of the supermarket world
that's
here.
Right.
Where, you know, you can just tell the difference, which I never would have known before. So, you know, I go to the farmer's market every week now just to try to get that back. Mm-hmm. But so that was a big part of it. I think you know, for us,
coming back without baguettes, fresh down the street.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, I'm gonna cry for a minute now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think just the different things, you know, having access to things we love that we didn't have there, for sure.
Yeah.
But just not being able to get some of the things that we'd gotten really used to was hard. Mm-hmm. And then, honestly, another part of that was that there were certain things we could eat over there that were just wonderful and amazing and delicious. But we walked every day. You know, you eat less because it's more expensive, and it's that's more of the culture. I came back here and I would fix something that we had over there with lots of butter and cream and all that. And, you know, and then I don't feel good. So that was, I mean, that's not directly related to the cooking, but that was a switch because we were able to eat differently there because we lived differently.
I can give you some examples from the children's perspective.
Yeah.
Our children, we have three, and whenever we return to the States, Daniel was going into kindergarten, Jeffrey was going into fifth, and Rachel, fifth and seventh, that's right. And for them, the adjustment was quite stark because, for example, milk. They had gotten so used to, is it sterilized milk?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a shelf milk that you don't have to refrigerate.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would come in just regular bottles, and it was relatively inexpensive, and they loved it. I did not really care for it. I didn't like the taste.
Yeah, that's something that's upside down, right? So we talked about how we missed all the fresh stuff. We came home, and the kids, we gave them fresh milk, and they're like,
I don't want that. I want that other stuff off the shelf. But they loved it. They loved it. And I'll be very honest, some of the milk products here in the United States at that time, this was 2007 and 8, I'm positive there were growth hormones or things that perhaps had been just accepted into the production of fresh milk, and our children, I mean, their bodies could tell. I mean, it was difficult for them to readjust to that. Also, for lunch, I mean, the children had at school, they had an hour and a half for lunch.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Right. They could eat at the cafeteria, the canteen, if they wanted to. And then they would have recess time after that to play for an hour. I mean, they had a really nice time. Although Rachel and Jeffrey, they often wanted to come home because they didn't want to eat the cauliflower or the broccoli. They kept telling them,
Celery root
puree. Yeah, they were just suis allergic. I can't do that. But so they would come home and have time. The main thing, even more so than the food, was just the time that was invested in a meal.
Yeah,
I mean, even going to dinner at a neighbor's home, you'll be there for hours. I mean, starting at 7, Mike. Sit down for dinner at 8, and then it carries on until almost midnight.
It's just different, the whole thing.
Yeah, I remember when I was in college, you know, I took French. I took 2 years, but my teacher told me about that when you would go into a restaurant, and I don't know if this is the case everywhere, but this was her experience, that when you got the table, you could expect to be there all night. Oh, like, you know how in America, they're so concerned with turning tables?
Oh, yes. A rush.
It's just this rush, rush, rush. Like, get them out the door so we can, you know, make more money. Yeah. But
well, like that trip to Spain. So we had landed, and then we all went to work, and just a group of 30 of us. We worked all day and got picked up at a hotel at night, and then going out to dinner, it's like 8 o'clock. I'm like, man, we're all starting. It's like, we'll find some place open, you know. And we go to this little place around the corner, and he's like, yeah, we're not open yet for dinner.
Exactly.
We're like,
exactly, isn't that different?
Yeah, you know, so yeah, that was it's
even
a very
more so in Spain.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think they have a different schedule too.
Yeah,
but
And, you know, now there's much more, you know, there's a lot more fast food in Europe than there used to be. Yeah. a lot more like that kind of mid-level, you know, not really fast, but not the kind of traditional. Mm-hmm. But you mm-hmm. do find all of it. I mean, it's, but yeah, I mean, some of the restaurants you would go and you would just be there. And that was the idea, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. it's an event.
It's yes, it's an experience. Yeah. It's not just a sustenance exercise. You're gonna experience culture and mm-hmm. the people around you, and even with, you know, the noise or the, you know, it's just so unique. It's so,
yeah.
And I remember some of our first experiences with the restaurants. I can remember the kids not enjoying the food at first. Mm-hmm. You know, Rachel's first experience with a creme brulee, she didn't like it.
Hmm.
And she was really disappointed when she first tasted it. But then now, oh, it's just a joy. Yeah. It's a treasure. It's something to
yeah.
to look forward to. So yeah. Our tastes developed, and mm-hmm. our love for it grew and grew mm-hmm. and grew. And the bread and the cheese.
Yeah, the quality of the ingredients.
Yeah, yeah, that's
so fresh.
Yeah.
Everything's close. I mean, that's right. That's the difference. Right. And, you know, right. It's just
transportation.
Where we are. I mean, it's, you know, it's right. okay.
Yeah.
But there, you know, the sea is not far. Mm-hmm. The
mountains
the mountains where the cows mm-hmm. are with the cheese, and then you add on top of that just the traditions mm-hmm. and the just the pride mm-hmm. In
yeah.
it,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
and that just that's something that certain regions have here
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely think so.
You know, but they're not in the. I'm from Memphis, so mm-hmm. like barbecue for me would
right.
be that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, mm-hmm. you just,
exactly.
Oh, this is Memphis,
mm-hmm.
and nowhere is as good. Well, that's how they are. I mean, every little right. small town
uh-huh.
has that. Mm-hmm. So, and it's fun.
So
it's,
fun
it's,
to explore.
It's fun to explore it and experience it. And it's been mm-hmm. fun coming back to
and
adapt
it.
And find, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. say, hey, here's something I learned there
right.
That I do here now, you know,
yeah.
making a sauce.
Yeah,
which is not complicated.
It's gravy.
But you just, yeah, it is. Exactly.
It's gravy. Yeah.
Been doing that forever.
Just, yeah. We just use a different
gravy.
Yeah. 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 Because we were watching a cooking show from Europe last night, and it's like, you know, well, just get this wonderful puff pastry at your local grocery. Like, yeah, no.
No. That, yeah, that's right.
It doesn't work here. It doesn't look like that. It's,
that's right.
It's kind of.
It's very different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not to slam being American
no.
or American
no,
food,
no.
but just, I do think there's a lot more accessibility to fresh, and even if it's not maybe like organic all the way or something.
No.
It's,
right. it's organic it's, by its design. I mean, by
yeah,
its
I mean, maybe it doesn't have that certification, but it, mm-hmm. somebody's just going to care enough to grow it that way, mm-hmm. or it's going to be grass-fed beef or
yes.
grass-fed milk. And
because that's just
nobody
the way it
has
is.
The government doesn't have to make you
yeah.
do it a certain way. They
yes.
just care about it, mm-hmm. you know. And I think we lack that sometimes.
A lot of pride in it.
In America.
They had labels or categories for things like their chicken.
Mm-hmm.
If you
mm-hmm.
purchase chicken in the grocery store or at a from a rotisserie
mm-hmm.
on the street,
mm-hmm. yeah.
it had to be a certain
AOC.
Right. What does that stand for?
AOC.
Accredited. No, appellate.
Anyway, it's how they recognize. So that's why, like, you can't call mm-hmm. anything that's not from Champagne.
Correct,
okay.
right.
It's
they,
a,
yeah.
It's a label.
The region. That's,
it's
yeah.
like a trademark.
Have a cheese or a milk.
Gotcha.
Or
mm-hmm.
there was a particular breed of chicken,
mm-hmm.
Poulet de Bresse,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
there was
had
like,
to come from.
It only came from
right.
that place.
Okay.
And you know, there's cheeses that, you know, it's this. It has to be this season,
mm-hmm.
this type of
mm-hmm.
cow,
mm-hmm.
on this side of this mountain, at this
right.
altitude, and milk this way. And, you know, and that's the only thing you can call whatever that
yeah.
is.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And so,
very
again,
particular.
It's a combination of the pride
mm-hmm.
and it's business. I mean, there's
yeah.
that too.
Yeah.
But then there's also just there's a confidence in those when you go and buy,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
that you see that. And, and so that was, I mean, you know,
that was interesting.
Fun.
That was it. That was educational, something
yeah.
to learn.
Yeah.
But Jeff and I both came from backgrounds where there were farmers and
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
definite pride
mm-hmm.
in that.
Sure.
And in how many, you know, canned vegetables you could get
mm.
put up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had to explain to my students today at school what putting up vegetables meant. It was so funny because we started a food unit and they were like, oh.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's fun to share the things that we value too.
Yeah,
and it's been so fun to see how we can blend what
mm-hmm.
we love
mm-hmm.
about our own background and our culture here and our heritage and recipes that make you cry. You know, you look at, you know, at your grandmother's handwriting and it gets you right in your heart because it matters to you. And then to blend that with things from a place that we loved or we grew to love so much.
We introduced our friends to a few things, right? I mean, we turkey and dressing.
Okay.
We did. Yeah. We did. And we talked a lot about how to make a pecan pie, but you couldn't get pecans. Mm. You had to use walnuts.
Interesting.
Yes. So, yeah, Thanksgiving was always a great time talk about what we love and what we value and traditionally have in the United States. It was a great conversation starter.
Cool.
Mm. Well, cool. Well, thanks. This is very interesting. A lot of good information.
Thank you so much. I love talking about it.
So we're going to continue with Jeff and Melanie about some seasonal favorites next week. So for Sweet Teen Tacos, I'm Dave.
And I'm Jen. And thank you, Melanie and Jeff.
Oh, thank you.